Broadcasting from deep within the second realm, you are listening to agoristradio.com.
Hello, this is Hero White of the Cypherpunk Show. Agoristradio.com is sponsored by MetroPie.net, SSH proxy and VPN services. Privacy is your right, only if you defend it. Please support our sponsors and tell others about them.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible.
Hello, welcome back to Cypherpunked. This is Hero White, and today we have a special guest, and he has brought along a special guest with him. Previously on the show, we had an interview with Ben from the justlive.us website, and during the show, he mentioned that there was a project that him and Harold is working with as part of the JustLive.us project, that they were working on another project that they weren't ready to announce at the time, and it has gone live, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's see. Ben and Harold, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Hero. It's good to be
Thanks,
back.
Hero.
Great. Yeah, it is. It's good to have you. I'm glad you guys moved along with this. Tell us what your new project is.
Well, it's called postpolitical.us, and it, in a lot of ways, is related to the same idea as Just Live. But in this case, it's focused more on what people in the present day are voluntarily giving to politicians and the political establishment. With other things that the state and the political establishment does, it's very much coercive and often forceful. But in the case of giving donations, individual contributions to politicians, in that case, no one is being forced to do anything, and yet billions of dollars over the years and even each year are given to these politicians to run for office. And, of course, only one in each race even wins. Mm-hmm. And those that do win most often, if not always, fail to live up to the campaign trail rhetoric that they promised to their donors and their voters and all of that. So Postpolitical is about highlighting the alternatives to that. Mm-hmm. Where else you can voluntarily give your time and money and energy that actually has some real results and that isn't just a seasonal thing and that isn't supportive of the status quo, but instead moves on to something better.
Right. You know, I saw on your About page, starts off here with a little line. The 2008 election was the most expensive in U.S. history. I guess when you say election here, you're talking about the 2008 presidential election alone, correct? Just the presidential election. Or are you talking about...
Well, that number is... There's two numbers. Both the presidential election itself was the most expensive in the election cycle in general. And with the congressional and senatorial, so it combined both were
what, $5.3 billion?
Yes, that's the I think that's the number for the total election.
Right, and then the presidential race alone making up over $2.4 billion. And I like this on the front page that your first example was not showing the donations that were given to Obama or McCain. You actually give the example of Ron Paul, nearly $2 million.
Yeah, that's a live update from his number feed, you know, from the tickers of the donations added to the totals from the President's Day money bomb that he already had. So his numbers are probably the most up to date. The other ones I got off of the FEC website, and theirs is not as updated. But of course, as the election cycle ramps up and more people start putting out minute-to-minute numbers, we're going to be putting those in for the different candidates. But yeah, he has the most at this point that's at least available to find out about, and that's the most up-to-date. Of course, I think last time, I don't know, Harold, I don't remember exactly what...
Hello?
Yeah, it looks like Ben just dropped off there. You back, Ben?
I should be.
Yeah,
I'm hearing a lot of sound.
Yeah, we're just hearing some silence from you. You're popping in and out.
I got some music here. Wow, that was odd. I was hearing some.
It's okay. We'll edit this out of the podcast.
Yeah, sorry anyone listening live. I don't know what that was. There's a bunch of music playing. Anyway, sorry about that. So Obama raised, and I don't know, Harold might have a more accurate figure, but Obama alone raised something close to $1 billion or spent something close to $1 billion on his campaign in 2008. And so he's projected to... This particular election season is projected to be even more expensive than the last one, and his numbers alone are supposed to be even higher despite the fact that he's an incumbent. So it's only going to get more expensive from here, I imagined, and so we will definitely have more numbers to show.
Yeah.
Yes, Obama, it was close to $600 million, over $600 million last election, and of that, they're saying $400 million or so were individual donations. So that's the scary thing when you look at the amount of individual donations that are being given to these candidates, and then you see the results, and then you see what else could happen if people would join together instead of under this umbrella of a figurehead, and we join together with each other and try to help lift each other up, that we can get a lot accomplished than sending our money to someone else that might, even if they have the ability to make a change, but you know they will not, but you have to spend so much money to even get to the position to even have that ability to. And we all know how the political game works, so we're trying to get the politically active people that really want to do it, won't change to certain issues, to let's circumvent the politicians and let's directly fund issues that are projects directly.
Yeah. Direct action in another way, and showing these numbers here are it's great. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out there that would like to, and maybe they would throw money at Obama again, but even if they're not interested in liberty projects or some of the other agorist type things, they may, you know, see some logic in, hey, listen, instead of sending the money in this direction, let's do something something ourselves for the things that we are interested in directly. Now, in the past, this was a lot more difficult than it is now. In the past, you had the choice of giving to the Red Cross or the International Food Relief Fund of Africa or some type of, you know, these type of organizations or some local, and you were limited to usually like charities and the like. And you can give your money to, you know, John Birch Society or who all these big Cato Institute and everything. But I think that what you guys are showing in on your website with some of the projects and stuff that you have listed here, I mean, right off the top, you have like this micro factory prototypes. And I'd like to talk about a couple of these just real briefly, just to give an example in a little bit. Self-replicating 3D printers. You know, some of these things that are projects that are related to structural liberty, and that is changing things at the at low, very low levels, and giving empowering people to do a lot of things themselves, and decentralization of many of these types of technologies are very decentralizing. So it takes away a lot of some power structures that are out there. But I'm going to tie this all in with these other things that are happening online, and I forget the names of the website. I had them pulled up here, but I lost my my bookmark. These projects that are out there for doing what's called money bombing. What are you've seen these ones that are for open source? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where you
the crowdfunding stuff?
Yeah. Where these, yeah. I'll give one example. The fellow traveler who was working on the open transactions financial crypto system, he applied to one of the most well-known of these systems. And if it slips my head which one it is, if I say it, everyone's going to remember.
Probably Kickstarter.
Yeah, Kickstarter. Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure that's the one he applied to. And they told him to get lost because they weren't interested in his type of thing. Even though out of all the projects that should be kickstarted, his is one of the most important in the world. But that aside, the way that the system works is that you go in, you put up a project, and you say it's going to cost this much money, and maybe here's some of the phases and milestones that we're going to go through. And then once you get enough funding and you hit that milestone, then bam, you receive the money. And you continue with the project. If you don't reach your fundraising goal, then the money it is eventually returned back to the people. So there's several of these systems that are popping up out there, and now you have the new Bitcoin Global Stock Exchange, where people are starting to put up projects that they want funded, and you tie that in with your website. And what's happening and how you're presenting this, I think that a lot of where you're trying to go here with this, a lot can be done with that.
Yes, exactly. It's the now. You know, you could have said this was the future, but this is going on now. And so we're trying to take advantage of that. And this is the idea, like we have these tools that we have, all these new tech tools, the software, And we're all connected, and we all want to. We're all aware. We're awake. We want to make change, and you're kind of. I don't know what to do. And some people, they feel that all they can do is okay. I found this one politician, and I think he can solve the problem. And let's do this. But if you look at what's going on online, there's so much stuff being done by individuals that are either creating new technology that is freedom, that's liberating, or that are doing other activist direct action type things that need either money, they need people, bodies, minds, or they need materials, and you can get together with these people locally, and you can actually help each other and get things accomplished. And when you see that, which the Ron Paul thing, that opened up my eyes that this is even possible, that you can just by this idea, but moving it away from the politician, moving it from these figureheads, these guys that we all go under, but we won't do it for each other. Then once the season's over, or the guy quits, or he's beat, apathy sets in, and then all the little liberty projects and websites and blogs and forum, everything just kind of dissolves, and everybody just goes back to this mentality of, okay, we'll try again in a few more years. No, let's do this now.
Right.
No, we don't need to wait.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's the goal to get.
Go ahead.
Excuse me?
No, go ahead. You said that was the goal.
Yeah, this is it. So we're trying to switch the mind frame to, you know, anybody that's looking at politics that want to give that whatever level they're in it. For the hardcore people, seeing these numbers, seeing the central total, and then just being hit with what else could be done, bought, or helped with the same amount of money, it kind of blows you away that when you look at some of these projects, you're looking at you could reach everybody in the country with some of these projects, like to really educate, because that's some of the counterpoints is, well, at least these politicians will help educate my issue. Well, you can fund somebody more efficiently to do it, to have a more personable, direct contact with people that will have a better effect than running these commercials, which mostly is what it is.
Yeah.
So that's to shift people to that way, and then the new crowdfunding, funding projects with each other, and with the goals, and if you don't meet it, then you didn't lose anything. So you feel confident that their project will be successful because they're able to reach the goal and get all the funds they need to do it. So that's the way to go, and that is giving, you know, the individual the power to, you know, manifest their dreams and with each other, and people that want to help and do that, well, we can do that with each other. We don't need the politicians, we don't need the lobby, you know, we can work with each other and get this stuff done. So
yeah, well, and on the same education front, how you're talking about the television advertising and sort of all the direct campaigning as a educational thing. The other part of that, of course, is what people are seeing in the sort of, I guess, free media coverage. You have debates, you have reporters talking about candidate X, you have them being interviewed and stuff like that. And so people see that as educational, but at the same time, the media in that sense is also there to sort of put forward a status quo opinion. And so even if candidate X has some great ideas that you want out there, all of those ideas are automatically being associated with that person's figure, with that person's identity in the media.
Uh-huh.
So if someone's like, well, I agree with X policy, well, isn't that what candidate X thinks? I don't like them, or I don't like something about that, and I heard this about them, and all of that sort of cult of personality stuff goes along with the education versus getting an issue out there and getting more than one person and getting more than one organization sort of out there talking about a specific issue that you care about. It's a lot harder to dismiss the issue when it's not part of a pre-manufactured package to send out to the media in the form of a personality.
Right.
So it seems like a double-edged sword. You know, you get your information out there, but it goes along with a lot of other baggage. So
yeah,
labels.
Uh-huh. Yeah, now all this ties in with the decisions that people are making on how they get their information. You know, they have their friends and their groups that they're involved with, you know, Twitter, people that they're following. They may not get some of their main news directly from the Twitter stuff, but they're using that as a filter. And so it's replacing a lot of people who would just sit down and turn on, like, us when we were, you know, children. There was pretty much, you know, CBS, ABC, and NBC news, you know, nightly news in the U.S., and then, you know, CNN comes on the scene, and that's supposed to be breakthrough. And that way that system was set up, the way that money distribution was happening, the way that you as an entrepreneur or someone who had a great idea for some type of solution, you had to go through all of these old systems, even for raising money. You either had to, save it up, which is still a great way to do it now. But if you're looking for investors and you have to go to your local bank, and then you're just tying into the bank system, and then what they may think is a good idea or a bad idea, and then how much money you're going to need as part of that business loan that you're going to get in order to do marketing and advertising. And if you want to get any type of a global or national investment money, you're looking at, you know, going on stock exchanges or trying to pitch handfuls of venture capitalists. And now you got all this P2P stuff going on, and I include P2P, I include that with Twitter because it's people communicating, you know, individually to each other. And now you have Bitcoin and all these other payment systems that are popping up so that people can start to do what even more so than what they have in the past, and that is do what the market does best, and that is the most efficient reallocation of resources, which is what governments have been known to screw up because they have all their special interests and everyone sends their money to the government and expects them to, like, be doing the best resource allocation. And that's not how it works. The proper resource allocation happens the greatest in the most free market. And what that means is where individuals themselves are choosing where their money is going. So, you know,
right. It's definitely it's a centralization versus decentralization thing. Mm-hmm. You know, a politician in a campaign represents a single focus point for everyone to sort of place their resources and their hopes and dreams, and it's also a single failure point. And like you were saying, the peer-to-peer stuff with investing, with cooperation, with all of it, is so much more resilient. It's just that it's going to take a little bit of time for more people to sort of transition into that way of thinking, but it's obviously happening. I mean, along the side of post-political, there are, I don't know, maybe 30 links to different crowdsourcing and different sort of alternative backing mechanisms, and not all of them are money-based. There are some sort of favor-based stuff. I mean, there's all sorts of different and creative ways that people are helping each other, and there are more of them every day, and a lot of the ones that we list on the side just started not that long ago and are already sort of taking off. And then, of course, you've got the ones that started a little bit ago that have really taken off, like Kickstarter and Indiegogo and stuff like that.
Right.
And so there's this whole wave of that sort of method coming into what will soon be, you know, the mainstream.
Yeah.
And it's really
definitely
good to see. So
yeah, there's I think that the what you said is important, that the one thing about people changing their mindset and understanding this, and your website I think is really good for that. I didn't notice these links on the side with the different crowdfunding locations. These were a lot of the places that I was looking at this past week, even before we talked, thinking about some of the possibilities on how the business models work for these. And so for some of the listeners, some of these sites work like the Kickstarter, where you may donate so much for a particular project, and if they reach their goal, then the money is released. Other ones, it doesn't matter whether they reach their goal or not. The money is just the people will receive their money. Some websites are not interested in they are only interested in creative projects. Other ones are for things that have to do with mutual aid or you know, helping people get health care, or, you know, different type of projects that are more what you would call like a non-for-profit type things. So there's go ahead.
There's a lot of different websites that have different niches in the crowd funding area. Like you said, some have a escrow type system where it has to meet a certain goal and you by a certain time frame, and if it's not met, then nobody's credit's charged. Or there's some that as soon as you donate, the money's there, and even if they don't meet their goal, they have those funds.
Oh, okay.
And so we're looking for sites and like that, projects on sites like that, anything like that, I just want to put out an email address before we run out of time that people can send us any type of projects or campaigns that need funding, manpower, time, energy.
Right.
That's non-political. You can send us links at contact@postpolitical.us.
And that's something someone can do, you know, from email. Also, our contact form on the site, postpolitical.us/contact. The first form there is like a really simple way just to fill in real quickly information about a cool project that you've got going on or that you know about or that you like. And you can just put that in there. And it's really simple to just put in some quick information, and then we can take a look. I'd like to be overwhelmed with those so that we can just start putting them up because there are so many out there. And so having direct information from people, like sort of to as a filter, people finding the best ones, send them in stuff that they're doing, go ahead and send them to us at that contact form, and we'll put it up there.
Great. And I'll throw up these links and contact information on the show notes also. Backing up a little bit, you mentioned the thing with the Ron Paul. Everyone was very, very excited at that time because of the amount of, well, political action that was taking place, the buzz and everything, and then these funds. Everyone was watching these numbers just, I mean, they were flying, the numbers were flying across the screen with the digits increasing. It was something else watching that. So then,
yes,
like you said, when it died down afterwards, and everyone was kind of like let down and a little bummed out, but at the same time, one of the most important things, if anything came out of that, is one, look at the number of people out there that are interested in an alternative to what the Republican, the mainstream Republican Democrats were pushing out there. And even though he wasn't getting his full time on in the media, the movement was still on fire. And then the amount of money that was put out, okay? So when you see that and then you relate it like you do on some of the site and what their mission is here, it really is great because that thing that looked somewhat like a failure actually was, it can be seen as that. Here's an example of where a bunch of people went out there and got a lot of money raised. And if that same money was raised by the people that donated, they donated out of a passion inside. They thought that there was a chance that this was going to make a difference and that this revolution could spread like wildfire. And they thought that there was a chance, otherwise they wouldn't have done this. So if you thought that you had a chance donating to the Ron Paul thing, then that same, you know, the problem, what? It went to political activity, whereas these are particular projects. So people can start take that same enthusiasm and say, hey, instead of the $150 I was going to send to Ron Paul, I can send to one of these things. And it's not going to make it. $150 is not going to make a change in – it's not going to put out a project. But when you go through that Kickstarter, I recommend everyone check out the Kickstarter website and look at some of these projects. I mean, some of them are pretty silly. And they got 250, 300 people that have sent over a couple hundred dollars or something like that. And yeah.
It's amazing, really.
Yeah, it is.
But look at some of the ones that aren't silly. I mean, of course there are silly ones, but to me, that's the beauty of the whole thing is like one person's silly is obviously someone else's like fun or dream or whatever, and they can get out there and find out just how many people are also interested in that thing,
right,
and they can actually get it supported. But look at some of the stuff that happened with Kickstarter, like the Diaspora Project. I mean, I think they asked for 10 or 20 grand to start out with to make sort of an open source distributed answer to Facebook. Because, Facebook is like this centralized platform that collects people's data and that people don't really have a lot of control over it. And so in the Diaspora Project, which I'm sure a lot of people listening have heard about, but you know, the goal of that was to make it open source, or anyone could host it, and the different nodes would interact with each other, and improvements could be made, and privacy was the number one priority, and stuff like that. There's already Facebook, you know. There's a thing that almost everyone's on, everyone's got it, everyone's heard of it who doesn't have it. And so it would seem that a project to sort of answer it or replace it or provide an alternative to it wouldn't necessarily get that much support. Well, when Diaspora went on there and asked for 10 to 20 grand, I think by the time their donation period closed, they had like well over $200,000.
Oh, and man.
So they made, you know, 10 times the amount they asked for or more. And right. then the success of that project itself, like the success created its own buzz. Mm-hmm. So other people, other investors, including the founder of Facebook, apparently, donated or invested large amounts of money on top of that because of the popular buzz
right.
that it had generated.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So I think
great.
Yeah, Zuckerberg was like, "This seems like a cool project. I'm going to donate to it," you know, which is just really strange. But you know, that's what happened.
That's okay.
When they did it,
yeah.
So you know,
well, you know, that brings back. You know, I said the silly thing, not being silly. I only brought up the silly thing because, you know, you really wouldn't think that some of this stuff would have any of the type of funding, because you hear about people with great ideas for great projects all the time who, well, I can't get funding for it and I have another job and I can't, you know. And then you go in here and you see these projects that are just getting money thrown at them from not a lot of money thrown at them from the individuals, a little bit of money from a lot of people, and they're getting funded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what this shows too is it shows this new market. If you're out there and you have a great idea, and a lot of these sites are based on that where – there's like, hey, I want to do this project. Here's my credentials. Here's what it. Here's the solutions that it provides. Here's the problems that it solves. Here's where we want to go with it, and this is going to be the effect on communities, on individuals, on the network. If you're interested, bam. And you know, and they don't have anything. That's basically it. You know, maybe a little, not even some big business plan like you know, Citibank is going to want to see or something like that. They'll just have some diagrams up there and some previous work that they've done or whatever. And so
a funny video, even, you know.
Yeah, a good video.
Yeah, yeah, right. You know, and so you throw it out. Like, look at this one on your website, just as an example of a small one that is not this big, you know, project. It's a smaller one. Solar-powered coffee roaster, okay? You know, somebody had to come up with this, and then – you want to talk about this one real quick, and then we'll go on to some of the other ones that are really cool, like the farm stuff, to give people an example of of how this is used.
The thing is, I was looking on Kickstarter for some projects that, you know, would really catch my eye and that I could put up there, and I ran across this one, and I was like, solar-powered coffee roaster, that's really cool. I figured it was like a small sort of cool gadget that people could use, and it wouldn't use electricity or fossil fuels or whatever, and you could roast coffee. And that's what I figured it on. I figured that would be a fun little cool gadget that people would want to be able to have or want their coffee shop to use, or that coffee shop people would want to use or whatever. And I looked into it, and yeah, the project is the solar-powered coffee roaster. That's what they're trying to do. But they're doing it all open source. So, like, all the plans and the materials list and, like, all of that stuff will be available open source for people on a wiki. It doesn't just roast coffee. Like, that's what they're going to use it for. But there's all these other applications that have already popped up in, like, power generation and other cooking and heating and all of these things, because it's open source and because the core technology was there for coffee. Yeah. And if you go look at their site and the project site, you know, they have all these diagrams and stuff about all these different applications that can be sort of modified from the core technology. And you know, it's really kind of inspiring that when you have a cool idea for one application and then you let other minds work on it instead
right.
of trying to keep it proprietary and
uh-huh.
locked down and secret and stuff, all of these other great things can sort of come from it. So
Yeah,
that's a really great example.
It is.
That's a great example. And instead of, like, you have people that want energy independence and they want, you know, big government, the Fed, to solve these issues. Well, hey, why don't we fund people that are directly, you know, solving these issues, and then more people will see that. That's the other thing. These projects become successful, like the example with Diaspora, and then that creates a buzz. And not only do you have other people with larger pockets funding that, but you see other creative people, inventors, see that and say, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this.
Uh-huh.
So it increases exponentially. People wanting to help create, you know, make these projects, you know, be successful, and the people that jump out and say, well, I can do this. They were successful. They're just, you know, a person just like me, you know, they got help, you know, maybe I can do this and I try it. So that's what it seems to be growing right now. So
yeah.
We're trying to catch that and combine with this political cycle, say, hey, we know y'all, you know, this is a time, you know, people get excited, motivated to do things, especially in the last cycle. You had people that are, you know, on both sides of the aisle were really fired up, but we're trying to get them to get fired up to directly fund your passion.
Yeah.
So what
right.
you're into, you know, let's find these projects, and that's why we need we're starting off right now, but we're trying to find as much diverse things we can find, you know, anything.
Well,
and,
look,
you know, we're trying to even work on something ourselves to solve this issue. Because like you said, some of these sites, they're set up to do only creative projects for this, like the example you gave, and yeah, that guy, he got turned down.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing. We're trying to provide a platform that will allow other projects to grow. So me and Ben are working on something else.
Oh, wait. Are you guys interested in moving this toward a Kickstarter-like system also? Or are you just looking at just being kind of the portal for this stuff?
Well, right now we're kind of a portal for it. With this, we're trying to, you know, take advantage of the political cycle, and at the same time, which is a good thing about this site will probably be one of the only sites that we'll have once the election really starts going, these donations going, we'll have all the donations for all the candidates on there. So that's going to be your one stop to say, okay, well, let's look at how much this guy's doing and that
guy. That's
great.
So
these people that are really involved donating, you know, it's going to, they'll be able to go there just to see what their candidate's doing and maybe compare with another candidate. So while they're looking at that and other people that they're involved in that, we're going to catch them with that and then catch them. Hey, well, they'll see these numbers and they'll see these other projects. And so, you know, we'll get them that way. So it's kind of, it can work either way. And so this is to set that idea. But as we and Ben started working on this, I had this idea last fall. We started talking about it, and we talked about how to do it. While we were talking about this, we came up with another whole idea that fits into this. So basically, it just kept growing and growing, and basically, me and him are working on it's grown up to, it's a startup, basically, that we're going to start and really try to create something that will be a solution for all, open platform.
Oh.
That will allow different things, not only something like this, but other types of actions that are peer-to-peer, decentralized, that can be accomplished.
Well,
so,
keep us notified.
Good.
Sounds like something we might want to cover on the show.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Most definitely.
I want to back up a little bit to the solar-powered coffee roaster example that you gave. One great thing about this is, and you brought this up, how their model is a little bit different than what someone would normally go, what we're normally used to with people raising funds in order to get investment inside of their project. And there's always, well, okay, how is it going to be distributed? How is it going to be sold? And it's created this closed system. And there's plenty of room for that out there, okay? But there needs to be a lot of room for all these other models. And one great thing in the system is some people say, why would I want to invest in your company or your project? And, you know, there may be thousands of investors out there and venture capitalists who are going to look at this solar-powered coffee roaster, and they'll have absolutely no interest in investing in it, okay? Just like a lot of people have absolutely – these same guys have no interest in investing inside the Apache Foundation who's responsible for the open source web server on the net. They're not interested in investing in that because to them it's not an investment. To them, it would just be a charity thing. But it is an investment for the people who are actively using the Apache software and need it inside of their operations. And when they contribute code to the project or bug fixes or publicity or whatever these things that they do, when they do that, it's an investment for them because it's coming. This whole idea of open source collaboration with a particular project. So on the solar powered coffee roaster things, you know, maybe you're not going to have all these people that are interested. Oh, wow, let's do that. But what you may have is you may have several thousand people around the world who are living in low power situations where they have low wattage or where they're trying to do self-sustaining environment. And these solutions that these guys are creating, that's going to be their return on their investment. When they throw their money into this project, they're getting, like you said, they're getting blueprints. They're getting back schematics. They're getting back the list of the suppliers to actually buy the core material. You know, so these models go all around. Let me bring up another model that the gold, silver, I mean the Bitcoin, the global, the GLBSE, the Global Bitcoin Stock Exchange. For their investors, they have a model like this. If you invest in the project right now, the client is open source, but the server for the entire market, Board of Trade stock exchange system, that right now is private. Eventually it's going to be released open source, but right now as an investor, when you invest in it, you may get access to the source code. I'm pretty sure this is how it works, ahead of time. So as an investor in a project, you may get early access, and then eventually as certain funding requirements are needs are met, and after like 1 year, then the stuff is released to the world. So you may think, hey, I'll invest in this because as an early investor, I'm going to get early access. So there's the number of models that are possible in this are we can't even imagine right now.
And that's what I like about it, and the multitude of the different sites. Like I think Indiegogo is a donation proper. You make a donation, your money leaves your hands immediately, goes to the thing that you're supporting, and then they're responsible for providing incentives. Kickstarter, like we already talked about, is a pledge thing, so only if they reach their total pledge goal does any money come out. But there are so many other different variations on those themes and completely different ideas and stuff that doesn't involve money. Some stuff like ObTrade, which is not necessarily a funding site, but it's you go on there and you say, you know, I want this and I have this, and instead of trading it for money, you trade it for favors, basically, and so you can sort of rack up goodwill in a quantified way, and then trade your goodwill back out to the community. I mean, there are all these different ideas being thrown out there. There's the Woofie system, which is similar to that. There's all sorts of different things being played with, and that is where all of the innovation comes from. And that's what's really good to see. It's not like locked into one specific way of doing things. It's sort of a meta open source for the open source.
Yeah.
In the sense that there isn't like a centralized one single way to do things.
Yeah.
Some of these other projects, like you were saying, there's incentives to invest, or like you'll get early access to the source code, and a lot of these donation sites like Kickstarter, there are literal incentives. It's sort of like the PBS or Canadian Public Broadcasting method, where they would do the if you donate $100, you'll get this cool tote bag as a gift sort of thing. That's a lot of how it works, and so there's sort of a minor incentive that's not necessarily related directly to the project, or is in some tangential way, or whatever.
Yeah.
That's just sort of a gift for donation. But the thing with this type of investment is that it's very much personal. like, especially for investing in something like an art project, like some of the things on Kickstarter are, you're not gonna see a dime of any sort of return. I mean, and a lot of the projects aren't even about making money for anyone. Doing something that other people and the person that started the project is cool. And the reward is, I was involved in this thing that was cool, and if I hadn't been involved, it happened. Now it happened, and, you know, it exists out there. You know, so it's a very personal thing. You see something that really strikes a chord in you, you're not thinking, well, is this going to make a return on my investment? But rather, do I want this thing to exist? And that's, I think, something that's a little bit different than sort of the investment capital or investment banking right. model, where it's like, right. is this going to make me money? I don't care what it is. Yeah. Is it going to be a return on my investment or not? Exactly. And this is a totally sort of different vibe and a different process where you really are passionately invested, not just in the financial sense, but in the personal sense, with the projects that you choose to yeah. support. And that there's something just really, I guess, wholesome about that, at least to me.
Yeah, I have a problem with my mic here. Sorry about that. Yeah, that's really great stuff. Do you we're going to close up here in a few minutes. How about we go over? I mean, we mentioned the solar powered coffee roaster. I think that was an interesting example. But there's a few other ones that you've brought up on your website, like the micro factory. And you want to give us a couple other kind of ones that you find very kind of disruptive technology or very, very cool, or that's out there going on?
Yeah, the open source ecology stuff, like, that to me is where it's at. I mean, if you go to openfarm.org, we have a couple projects actually from there, and our syndicated news feed brings in their blog to our site, but all the stuff they're coming up with these open source plans for machines and equipment. I mean, they called it basically the Civilization Starter Kit. It's a whole self-contained, in a sense. Like, in other words, you build a machine that can make parts, right? And then you use the parts to build a tractor, and then use the tractor to build to excavate for your solar plant, and so on and so forth. You know, it's all interconnected, and it's all open source, and it's several factors cheaper than sort of the commercial go out and buy a tractor, go out and buy this thing. And it's all sort of, once you have the ability to get the raw material, it's almost permanently self-sustaining. You know, when you need to fix something, you get your mining machine and you go get some ore and you melt it with your solar furnace, and then you use the machine that you built to create to print out the repair part for, you know, all of that sort of stuff. Uh-huh. It's all very much interconnected, and that's what I'm personally the most interested in. So you'll probably see a lot of projects from there posted by me.
Okay.
But it's a really interesting thing on its own.
Great. Harold, do you have any other project that you personally really like? That an active project that's doing this, that's up there on Kickstarter or one of these other systems?
Well, there's several. Any of the, like you're saying, the open source CNC printing capabilities, the blueprints for Civilization. You know, I like projects like that. That's kind of bringing the tools, the top down, to a way that you can bottom up create,
yeah,
and do different things yourself. So that's what I like about this. And you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that's really great. You know, the creative stuff's good too. That sparks the imagination. So I think it's all good. There's stuff out there that can really uplift humanity as a whole. There's stuff that's, you know, for the individual to help you to be more self-sufficient, and then just the creative stuff, because I think we need that too. That kind of helps, that hits your soul. So, you know, there's
right.
kind I saw of a multitude of things.
One on that creative one, there's one model that we didn't talk about that's on the creative side. I forget the name of the site. Maybe you guys probably already have it listed on the site, but it has to do with open source, not open source, but this funded, community-funded reporting. And there's these reporters that post up there, I want to do a project on the, you know, the punk scene underground in London during the 80s.
Spa.us.
Yeah, right. That one, okay. And there's all these projects on there. You can go see and all these writers, and they say, I want to do, and I've done a few pieces before. Here's my resume or something. And here's all the, I have research information available. I have contacts. I have people ready to go to do the interviews or whatever. And they put up a project funding amount, and I was really stunned at the number of pieces that were up there that were funded to, I mean, several thousand dollars, many of them, for pieces I would have absolutely no interest in reading. And I don't, it really means nothing to me, and I can't imagine that people would pay for it. Now, I'm using that again as a worst case example where someone can touch out there in some type of a niche and get exposed like this, and then and the funding can fly in there. And I use these examples as just a baseline to show people when you actually have something that is wanted by even more people. Of course, I guess anyone that would go up to the I'm saying that they're not really something I'd be interested in. I think there's very few projects that I have that many people would be interested in when it comes to, you know, cypherpunk and crypto and digital cash and all these other systems.
Well, that's the beauty of it, though, is that you can find the people that are and they'll have a place to go and support you. And you know, it's not an all or nothing thing. It's not a package deal, you know, and that's what I think politicians represent. It's like, well, I like their position on X, but not so much Y. But I'm going to bite the bullet and go ahead and support them anyway because of X. I mean, why not just support the things that you actually like? You know, people are used to DVRs and the internet and everything else, like for watching the shows that they want to watch when they want to watch them. You know, everything's a choice now, much more so than it used to be. So I don't see why that shouldn't apply in the in the actual physical versus media realm.
Right.
You know, you don't have to accept package deals that you don't want to accept.
Right. Yep. There was a thing I like to throw out there sometimes where I feel that at a core level, when it comes to voting and the political systems, as an individual, your many of your votes are kind of, in many ways, worthless. What's important to the politicians is that they get your money. So in essence, everyone has every dollar you pay in taxes, whether it's hidden taxes or direct taxes, that actually is your vote. So if you if it gets taken from you, if you get 40% of your income taken from you, well, that's essentially you just gave away or 40% of your actual voting power was taken away from you. So if you have your remaining, like you guys talk about on the page, this is voluntary money. So every time you have a dollar, that's a vote. So when you put out money toward these projects, that is you truly using the power of your vote rather than delegating a big chunk of your money to someone else to do like we've been talking about.
So, exactly. And you know, and the thing is, like, these are numbers from the campaigns, right, that are based on the individual contributions that they or the FEC or some other group list as having been given in U.S. dollars to the campaign. But there's so much, like Harold touched on in the Money Bomb article, there's so much that is going on outside of the official campaign where people are just pouring their resources and their energy and their heart and soul into a politician that doesn't really get counted.
Yeah.
You know, someone on their own time going door to door with flyers for a politician or putting up signs or whatever it is they're doing, that's still resources and energy and being expended on someone's behalf that doesn't really even know you or care about you and that the results aren't really responsible to you versus something that you can see openly what they're doing with it by the fact that it'll exist. And so it's not just the money that you're giving directly to the campaign. It's all the time and energy that people spend outside of it. and thinking about it and supporting it in all these different ways. And that's, I'm sure, a bigger chunk. It's just harder to quantify because
it's hard to quantify.
It's not listed, you know, in the same way as direct contributions.
Yeah.
But it's still out there. You know,
it's harder to quantify many times if you're trying to quantify it at a dollar level at the moment. Okay. But a lot of these things start to take off in a way of their own where quantification is almost irrelevant. It's like trying to say, like, you know, you can quantify a lot of stuff with Microsoft because you have hard sales. Okay. But trying to compare the contribution or the market cap or whatever you want to call it of the Ubuntu and all the stuff that's going into the alternate operating systems, trying to, you know, quantify that. Give me a dollar figure, you know, about this. That doesn't mean that anything that has that everything is sort of, you know, wishy-washy, up in the air, and has no value. It just may mean that it may not necessarily have a number that you can quantify at that moment.
But that's the good side of that.
What's that?
That's the good side of that. Right. You know, in the campaigning sphere, people are spending all of that time and energy, the unquantifiable kind, on something that is it's like voluntarily campaigning for Microsoft.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Microsoft has this quantifiable amount that they spend, that they receive, that they sell, and then you're also adding on top of that the harder to quantify, you know, extra efforts to help Microsoft when they already have, you know, numbers about how well they're doing through their means. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to sort of pile on top of that. And I see the political sector in the same way, is that how much time and energy are you going to spend helping someone who the whole system is designed to help anyway?
Yeah. That's the grassroots side of it. Now, that side of it, this comes from experience, because this is what me and Ben, I started a donation campaign for Ron Paul in 08, and I was raising money to put billboards up for him. And so that's an example of it. And I saw firsthand all these people, you know, the donations just coming in like crazy, and it was unbelievable. And then people coming in to help design, that's how me and Ben met. He sent an email for a design for a billboard, and we worked on some stuff, and we were working on stuff since. So from that relationship, it grew. So once the Ron Paul thing died, we didn't die with it. We said, well, let's take our energy, that's the other thing, our creative energy, and let's, you know, create something else with it that's not based on politicians, but it's based on education, so educating the public. So that's where we went. So not only, you know, this idea, you know, I created a site, you know, doing the donations, and, you know, we're coming up with designs for billboards. So not only the money, it's the imagination, the creative ideas that we were coming up with and doing and manifesting, but it was all for a politician. And then we moved toward away from that, and we're hoping other people do too. Not only that, but these creative projects that people were coming up with to advertise, to promote, to market, to make money, building websites, blogging, social network. I mean, people were doing some amazing things, but it all was for politicians. Like, if people can do that for each other, for themselves, it's just amazing. But it took that to realize, oh, I have this power, and I can, you know, find other like-minded people, and I can be successful, and it works. So let's, now I can see that could work for each other, you know. Yep. So that's what we're trying to do, is trying to get, you know, these people that are into it now, that are getting worked up and fired up to shift their paradigm and use their imagination, to use their energy and their contacts and their network to do something else than to do it for these politicians, this cycle. Stop repeating the same thing, because I'm seeing the same type stuff.
Oh, yeah.
From 4 years ago with the debates and our guy's good, but then the mainstream media is putting them down. Well, you know that's going to happen. They're not going to put your guy in the positive light if he's anti-establishment. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they're going to spend all their time and energy trying to, you know, get this more attention, but let's just go to the direct action. Let's, you know, if you want to stop the Federal Reserve, well, let's support Bitcoin. Let's support other alternative
exactly.
currencies. Like, that's the thing. Let's circumvent, instead of in the Fed, well, let's, you know, support it, Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Let's use Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's very
That'll end the Fed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's emotional energy too, like you were saying. It's a negative thing, like, oh, the media is putting my guy down again. I hate mm-hmm. them. They're horrible, you know, and all this sort of negative emotion. I mean, whether it's well-founded or not doesn't really matter. You're focusing on these negative aspects of how we can never get a leg up and all this stuff.
Right.
But these other projects, you get to see it's all positive for the most. It's like, you know, here's the next wave of this project. Look what we already did. Look at this. And setbacks are just physical
just
setbacks.
Challenges.
They're creative challenges to overcome versus an evil enemy that is always holding us down. I mean, that exists.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
The thing is to find a way around that, like you were saying, not to spend all your emotional and physical energy sort of talking about how difficult it is
when
you can actually be doing stuff to move around it.
The stuff you guys are talking about here is a very common thread that I've been hearing from so many people, people that I'm just meeting now, and even old colleagues from way back. This same thing, where there's been a lot of activity in fighting the old system, and then just now just saying, man, if you see some of this old stuff, you know, okay, well, the Federal Reserve just printed up, you know, another mountain of money. You know, you look at some of that stuff, and instead of getting upset with it, you can use it as just a confirmation for, well, this is exactly the reason why we're proceeding forward with these alternative systems. It even means it's a better reason why we need these systems and stuff. And for the listeners, let me say, you know, what Ben and Harold, their new site here, this postpolitical.us website, this is a new site that they just put up. But the projects that they're talking about and these businesses that are out there, these crowdfunding and money bombing this, they have like the Kickstarter, we mentioned some of the other ones. These sites are up there right now, and there's people out there that are throwing up. You can go there and you can put up your own project right now on any of a dozen of these sites. Or you can go there and you can look around for something that you want to throw something into. So we're not talking about this would be a great idea to do in the future. What they're talking about is awareness that this is a new wave. This is a whole new thing with, you know, there's BitTorrent and this P2P technology, Bitcoin, you know, all these type of new, very extremely disruptive technologies that are happening, that are all down, they come right down to the core of the individual and his activities online and communications and his commerce and trade and all this. All of this stuff ties together. And these are these meta networks or whatever you want to call that are starting to rise up out of this. And I find it's going to be very interesting what's going to happen with some of these projects when they start allowing and integrating with a lot of the new alternate currencies that are out there, not just barter. But, you know, there's a lot of factors here that are and variables that are going into these new systems that are going to be quite fascinating to see what starts you know, coming out of here. So, go ahead.
And, you know, we were talking about different projects that people may or may not like, and silly projects and small projects and things like that on Kickstarter as a way to sort of look at how their system worked, and also because I liked it, obviously. I just donated or pledged to a project called Sketch Chair, which is, I like industrial design and furniture design and stuff like that, so it caught my eye. But it basically, in a nutshell, it's a program where on a site where you go in and you design a chair. It does the testing, like the weight testing and stuff like that for you, and then it actually gives you a file for these pieces that you put together, sort of like a puzzle, that you can cut out by hand or with a CNC machine or whatever. And so you can build the furniture in 3D, you know, test it out, get the plans for it, give those plans to a CNC place or cut it out or whatever it is, and then you have this chair that you designed that's, you know, 100% custom to what you wanted and can be used. You can use any sort of material that you want that would support it. And anyway, I like the chairs. I like what they're doing. But to me, I also saw the potential in it where this sort of design stuff in a really easy to use way and basically have the pieces that can be constructed in a way that you can put together. I mean, this can apply well beyond chairs and furniture and stuff like that, where it's basically an accessible CNC thing that you can just get a formatted plan for, take to a place, or if you have a CNC machine, put it in there. I mean, it's all like it's small now and it's cool now in a just a coolness sense.
Yeah.
But it is something that could develop beyond this.
Oh yeah.
And they asked for $18,000, and they currently have $29,000.
Yeah. See, this is great. I mean, well, and what you said, you see the potential here. I mean, if you really look at this and look at what's happening, not like think about what could happen, look at what's happening, and then just project that a little bit to this is a lot of fun. We're going to need to close up here. Any final words you guys want to throw out there before we take off here?
Well, for me, I think it's important that that we all realize, or the people listening, and for us, is that, you know, we're not promoting a specific political agenda of any kind. To me, this is all about life, you know, living life, getting things done that you want to get done, that interest you, supporting your interest and goals and dreams, and not worrying so much and not stressing so much and not devoting so much energy to against these systems that exist, but instead creating your own, you know, things like sketch chair. It's a chair, you know, it could go far. It might not, but it adds enjoyment to your life and it adds enjoyment to the people's lives that are doing it. And it gives, and it's something that, you know, that's just one example amongst millions. So it's not about, you know, trying to get some person in office or not get, you know, oppose someone going. It's about living life and about doing stuff for you and your friends and your community, and that's what I want people to get out of it. That's what I get out of it.
Great.
Yeah, that's it. I Ben summed it up pretty good. It's you know, we're just trying to highlight the money that we're voluntarily giving to politicians and showing all these great, awesome, imaginative other projects and other ideas that are out there and put it in place, and then also link to these sites so you can see that there's a whole world going out there now, that there's probably some ideas that when you see it and you see that somebody's actually building this, it's a solution and it's not a major corporation, and you know, they're actually getting it done, they actually have a product and they just need a little bit of help, they just need a little bit of support, and instead of, you know, messing around with the political circus and all that, those games, you know, let's shift our paradigm. Let's start working and helping each other and utilize this technology that we have and to really, you know, make a difference and put yourself out there too. We all have some kind of skill, some kind of idea, something to give to either improve ourselves that others will see that may inspire them, or to improve the collective. We, you know, we just want to present something out there that will help, you know, shine a light on all these projects and interesting things and try and get people more involved in something that's positive than the political, which is mostly negative aspect. And so that's our goal, postpolitical.us. Let's help each other, not politicians.
Yeah. All right. Ben and Harold, thank you very much for coming on today. Listeners, check out their website, postpolitical.us, and their other great website, the justlive.us blog, and lots of articles there. And you can contact these guys on the site. We will put contact information up. And when you guys are rolling out your other project, let us know about it. Might be something we want to cover here. Let's keep in touch.
Well, thanks, Hero, for having me on.
Yeah, thanks, Hero.
Yep. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
All right, everyone. Thanks again for listening. We're going to close out here with the Crystal Method, Brand New Kicks. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Dodge this.
this is Hero White of the Cypherpunk Show. AgoristRadio.com is sponsored by MetroPipe.net, SSH proxy and VPN services. Privacy is your right, only if you defend it. Please support our sponsors and tell others about them.
Broadcasting from deep within the second realm, you are listening to AgoristRadio.com.